Try being open to the prince and the princess, the king and the queen, the giant and the witch, the wild man and the wild woman, the dwarf and the crone, and the warrior, the healer, and the trickster within yourself. When you meditate, put the welcome mat out to all of them. Try sitting like a king or a queen, or a warrior or a sage. In times of great turmoil or darkness, use your breath as the string which will guide you through the labyrinth. Keep mindfulness alive even in the darkest moments, reminding yourself that the awareness is not part of the darkness or of the pain. It holds the pain and knows it, so it has to be more fundamental and closer to what is healthy and strong and golden within you. Practice as a Path. From The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri, Inferno. In the middle of this road we call our life, I found myself in a dark wood with no clear path through. The journey metaphor is used in all cultures to describe life and the quest for meaning. In the East, the word Tao, Chinese for way or path, carries this meaning. In Buddhism, meditation practice is usually spoken of as a path, the path of mindfulness, the path of right understanding, the path of the wheel of truth or Dharma. Tao and Dharma also mean the way things are, the law that governs all of existence and non-existence. All events, whether we see them on the surface as good or bad, are fundamentally in harmony with the Tao. It is our job to learn to perceive this underlying harmony and to live and make decisions in accord with it. Yet frequently it is not exactly clear what the right way is, which leaves plenty of room for free will and principled action, and also for tension and controversy, to say nothing of getting lost entirely. When we practice meditation, we are really acknowledging that in this moment we are on the road of life. The path unfolds in this moment and in every moment while we are alive. Meditation is more rightly thought of as a way than as a technique. It's a way of being, a way of living, a way of listening, a way of walking along the path of life and being in harmony with things as they are. This means in part acknowledging that sometimes, very often at very crucial times, you really have no idea where you're going or even where the path lies. At the same time, you can very well know something about where you are now, even if it is knowing that you are lost, confused, enraged, or without hope. On the other hand, it often happens that we can become trapped into believing too strongly that we do know where we are going, especially if we are driven by self-serving ambition and we want certain things very badly. There's a blindness that comes from self-furthering agendas that leaves us thinking we know when actually we don't know as much as we think. The Water of Life, a fairy tale in the Grimm's Brothers collection, tells of the customary trio of brothers, princes all. The two oldest brothers are greedy and selfish. The youngest is kind and caring. Their father, the king, is dying. An old man who mysteriously appears in the palace garden inquires after their grief, and when he hears the problem, suggests that a cure might be had in the water of life. If the king drinks of it, he will become well again. But it is hard to find. First, the oldest brother obtains permission to go forth to seek the water of life for his father, harboring the secret hope of currying his favor and becoming king himself. Almost as soon as he sets out on his horse, he encounters a dwarf beside the road who stops him and asks him where he's going so fast. In his hurry, the brother treats the dwarf with scorn and condescension, ordering him out of the way. The presumption here is that the prince knows the way just because he knows what he's looking for. Not so. But this brother is unable to rein in his arrogance and his ignorance of the many ways things might unfold or open up in life. Of course, the dwarf in fairy tales is no outer person either, but symbolic of the higher powers of the soul. In this case, the selfish brother is unable to approach his own inner power and feeling self with kindness and wisdom. Because of his arrogance, the dwarf arranges for his path to enter an ever-narrowing ravine in which he eventually finds himself unable to go forward, unable to go back, and unable to turn around. In a word, stuck. And there he stays while the story continues. When the first brother doesn't return, the second brother goes forth to try his luck, meets the dwarf, treats him in the same fashion, and winds up stuck just like the first brother. Since they are different parts of the same person, you might say some people never learn. After some time, the third brother sets off to bring back the water of life. He too encounters the dwarf, who asks where he's going in such a hurry. However, unlike his brothers, he stops, dismounts, and tells the dwarf of his father's grave illness and of seeking the water of life, admitting that he has no idea where to look or in what direction to go. At that, of course, the dwarf says, "Oh, I know where that is to be found." And he proceeds to tell him where it is and how he is to go about getting it, which is quite complicated. This brother listens carefully and remembers what he is told. This richly crafted tale takes many turns in its unfolding, which I will leave to the interested person to explore. The point here is simply that it is useful at times to admit to yourself that you don't know your way and to be open to help from unexpected places. Doing this makes available to you inner and outer energies and allies that arise out of your own soulfulness and selflessness. Of course, the selfish brothers are also internal figures of the psyche. The message is that getting caught up in the normal human tendencies of self-cherishing and arrogance and ignoring the larger order of things will ultimately lead to an impasse in your life in which you are unable to go forward, unable to go back, and unable to turn around. The story says you will never find the water of life with such an attitude, and that you will remain stuck, potentially forever. The work of mindfulness demands honoring and heeding our own dwarf energy, rather than rushing headlong into things with a mind that is sorely out of touch with large parts of ourself, a mind driven by narrow ambition and ideas of personal gain. The story says we can only fare well if we proceed with an awareness of the way things are, including a willingness to admit not knowing where we are going. The youngest brother has a long road to travel in the story before it can be said that he fully understands the way things are, with his brothers, for instance. He endures painful lessons in treachery and betrayal, and he pays a high price for his naivete before finally owning the full range of his energy and wisdom. These are symbolized by his ultimately riding straight down the middle of a road paved in gold and marrying the princess, I haven't told you about her, and becoming king, a fully developed man, not of his father's kingdom, but of his own.